Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy becomes a mermaid and Tyler giggles at water pump gaskets. Today's episode of Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to your ear holes by
Sneedy's Off-Road is your number one source for custom and aftermarket products for your 4x4, ATV, and side-by-sides. Quality parts that don't break your bank. If we don't have what you're looking for, we'll get it. Sneedy's Off-Road. The trail starts here.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and, of course, hearing about how awesome phallic symbols on water pump gaskets are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host today, Tyler, and sitting here in the studio next to me is the other host of Snail Trail 4x4, Mr. Phallic Symbol himself. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm okay. If I'm a phallic symbol, then I'm proud of that.
You're proud phallic? Nice. Now, if you were a phallic symbol, what kind would you be? Would you be like the military designations for ranks in the military, or would you be like a water pump gasket? Or
I'd probably be a.
Or would you be a slinky
little mermaid castle?
A little mermaid.
Fair. That sounds really bad. I shouldn't have said that.
No, those who know what you mean.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know,
but
do
I
you want to fill
be
people
affiliated
in?
Affiliated with a phallic symbol for little kids.
Oh God, that movie! There's so many parts of that movie that are hidden in there. Do you care to enlighten people about the castle one, the Little Mermaid castle reference?
Sure. Just look at the cover on the DVD.
Possibly
they might have updated the DVD, probably the VHS.
You have to find one of the original VHSs and look very closely at the columns on the castle.
Yeah.
It's one of the early ones. They caught it, I want to say, like 3 to 4 years after they originally released the VHSs and the covers on them.
Right.
So, my ex's father has one of the original VHSs.
Oh, really?
And so it was funny when he showed it to me. I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So they ended up catching it 3 to 4 years after the movie was released, but, you can still find pictures and scans all over the internet too. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to off-roading.
I don't know why that popped into my head. But
I mean, if you're going to be a phallic symbol, that's a good one to choose, I guess.
Disney, it's a good company,
Disney,
right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so back to off-roading.
Okay.
And Toyotas, because that's what we love here at the Snail Trail 4x4, where we do. So we have two now officially trademarked sayings for Snail Trail 4x4. One of them is the fastest growing off-roading podcast on the internet, trademark TM. And the other one is we do epic shit. So
that's funny.
We are the.
How about keep crawling?
I guess so. That we can put a TM on that one too, just for usage sake. So this is the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. Welcome everybody.
Yeah. Episode 61.
Is it 61 already?
I think so.
Jeez, that's right. We just released Cody's episode, episode 60. I hope you guys all enjoyed that. It was super fun to go over there and hang out with him.
See
at his
rig.
Place and see the rig and get pictures with it.
And the old school Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
I had more fun looking over the Toyota than I did the Orange Dragon.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not me.
I don't know if you saw. Did you see that the Orange Dragon won Ultra 4 Racing's most iconic vehicle?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It won number one for the most iconic vehicle.
Wow.
So, but they called it the Red Dragon.
Yeah.
As the winner. And then further on down the post, though, and the Red Dragon is now owned by Cody Addington. It has been renamed the Orange Dragon. And
right.
I was like, oh, that's funny. So, thanks a lot, Cody, if you're listening, for having us on. I will see you down in Hammers here in, God, we are like 10 days. 9 days?
No.
8 days.
Don't say that.
8 days away from going to Hammers.
Well, no.
I think so.
It's...
No, 9 days. Because today's Wednesday.
9 days.
Nine days from when I go down to Hammers.
which means about 9 days till I
until you
off.
Leave. Yeah, too. So
I should start packing.
You should. Oh man,
I gotta unpack to pack again.
That's true. We'll talk about that in a sec.
Okay.
Before we get into today's episode, because we have quite a few updates, actually. We have some listener feedback for everybody. I was very busy over the weekend and got a lot done and played around with some stuff on Kermit. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what you've been up to this weekend.
I was not busy this weekend.
You were not busy at all. One thing you were not doing was swimming. So no. We'll talk about that, too.
Yeah.
And but before we get into all that, I just want to say a huge shout out and thank you to, of course, all of our patrons. So without you guys, we would not be doing this. If you're on the giveaway tier for Patreon at patreon.com/snailtrail4x4, by the end of January, so January 31st, which is 7 days away here from when you guys are hearing this episode, 7 days away, you have 7 days to get in on the Morphlate Duo giveaway for January. So make sure you're in on that if you wanted to get a chance at winning a two-tire Morphlate system. And then along with that, we Morphlate here ran out of bags. Oops.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. The inventory guy's getting fired. And unfortunately, we can't get replenished until like April.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
There's that big of a back order.
There's that big of a backlog in production right now. I was very surprised. And with everything going on right now, I just don't have time to looking into a new production facility. So I just have the order set, and I'll just wait until April. And then now that I know that this issue can happen, I'll be looking for some backup production facilities for when it happens in the future. So, but anyway, so if you order a Morphlate, if you're listening to this, and order one between now and April, you will still get your Morphlate right away. You just won't get the bag until the production run is done, and we get bags back in stock. But I'm keeping track of everything, and it'll all get automatically shipped out and sent to you as soon as we get bags in. So don't worry. There are notes in every single order going out, just in case you're not seeing the notes on the website or listen to the podcast. But yeah, so that's the bag sitch.
Wow, bummer.
Yeah.
You know, we got a bunch of more reviews, and I have one up here right now I'd like to read to you.
Reviews for iTunes?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love some of these reviews are freaking awesome. I love reading through them when I'm bored.
This one's really good. 83 Blazer on 42s wrote this on the 3rd of January.
Okay. A Chevy Blazer. We'll see how this goes.
Tyler and Jimmy are very entertaining for us, even non-Yoda folk.
Aw. He's a closet. Oh, non-Yoda folk or just closet Yoda folk?
He just said non. They're fun to listen to in the shop and on the road, plus free drinking games. Keep up the fun banter and awesome dad jokes at the end.
Oh, that's funny, the drinking games.
And things of that nature, you know?
Yeah. There you go. Keep your shots on hand. Hopefully not while you're driving, though. Be safe there.
True that.
Wait, just add them all up and then take your shots as soon as you step out of the car.
Yeah, once you get home. Appreciate you guys writing in and giving those reviews. Reviews are probably the number one way to get ranked on Apple.
Absolutely.
And so that helps us out a lot.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. How many are we up to now?
I don't know. We're over 100.
Over 100.
I know that. Woo-hoo!
Well, that's cool. Over 100. So that's, I'm still like fathomed and amazed that, you know, 61 episodes into this show here, and you know, however many episodes we did back on the old podcast, that people still like listening to us bullshit about off-roading. I'm still amazed at it. So, as long as you guys keep enjoying it, we'll keep doing it. That's all I can say. So, we're still having a good time. We're having fun with it. We're meeting lots of really cool people through the podcast. It's been a really neat opportunity maker for meeting people like Cody Addington and Harry Wagner and Dirthead Dave, an interviewer coming up here in episode 70 that I'm just going to leave it. You guys are going to want to listen to that one.
Yeah, definitely.
I geeked out on it. And so you guys are going to want to listen to it. But we got to meet that guy. His name's Perry. You know, Chuck Norris, Mike, everything. I mean, it's just Brennan. Been really cool. Brennan. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the people we've gotten to meet and hang out with, the podcast group, you know, with Mike and Max's and Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Yeah.
And now Total Off-Road Podcast is what, 4 episodes in now? And they're starting to come along. 6 now?
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, it's really cool to see, just everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. On that side of things, and see that people are really interested in listening. Definitely. To off-roading podcasts. So, thank you for all the support. We love you guys. Speaking of feedback, I guess, not really feedback, but listeners,
mm-hmm.
On the previous, I don't know if it was on episode 59, I think, we talked about how somebody said we were having like sonar blips in our audio.
Yeah.
And it was a Mike from Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast. I had 2 listeners write me saying, hey, at this timestamp in this episode and this episode are those sonar sounds.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. So I went back and listened to them. And I was like, I still can't hear anything. I can't. And I don't know if the timestamps were off, because then Mike from Mike and Max's Off-Road Podcast, he sent the audio clip that he recorded on his phone. And he goes, tell me you cannot hear that. And it was loud as day in his audio clip. And what it is the springs on our microphone stand when we hit them. So you hear that?
Oh, really?
That audio coming through? That right there? That's what those sonar blips are. Because I listened to it and I was like, oh, that's our microphone stand. Jimmy keeps hitting it.
I do.
So, sorry.
I'll move it. I'll do it right now. Time out. This audio sounds good, I bet.
I was going to say, yeah, I know. It's going to be like an underwater sonar game for mapping underwater submarines. So, yeah, this audio, you guys hear it in the background. If you ever hear that going on, that's Jimmy. Welcome to the Snail Trail 4x4 recording studio. Don't hit your... I got to give you guys a play-by-play. So... Jimmy took one of the microphones off the table, and we had another microphone set up for our last interview that came in the studio here, and so he took off that microphone as well, had both of them sit on the table. He picked up the first one to start reattaching it to the table and smacked himself in the face with the mic. And his microphone isn't set up for him to defend himself right now, so I'm just going to keep talking. You having troubles there? Yes. This is entertaining. So this is where this would be a good spot where, if we were still doing video, to show people this whole side of the podcast of moving microphones around.
I'm back.
All right, I had to stop.
And I got more.
You got more room now to move around?
Yeah, I got more knee room. Nice. We're on a little like card table. I want to just say that's like,
it's a little baby table.
It's enough room for you to get your knees underneath the table, and for the most part, that's about it.
Yeah,
and I lean over and kind of sit somewhat cross-legged sometimes, and that's usually if I turn to like talk to Tyler, I'll smack the mic stand.
Yeah.
So now I moved it around the corner because the table is so small.
Yeah,
I can move it around the corner and it's out of the way.
So. Nice. So cool.
Now, if you hear the mic noise, it's Tyler.
I never hit the microphones. Anyways, so if you guys heard any of those sonar blips, that's what they were. And hopefully we have it fixed now. So thank you for writing in and letting us know what was going on and what you guys were hearing. It definitely helped. It definitely helped to track it all down and get rid of that for you guys. So other listener feedback we've had was, let's see. Jason Hussey informed me, because I got to spend some time over at his place this weekend.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
A 3-link versus 4-link, because we made a comment on the Build Planning 101 episode.
Okay.
About a 4-link being stronger than 3-links.
Okay.
And he said,
it's got an extra link.
It's got an extra link, and that was kind of my argument as well. And his argument is that it's set up for different forces. So a 3-link is going to be stronger if you're putting a lot of force on the vehicle laterally.
Hmm.
Because you have one bar that's sole right. purpose is to take that force.
Yeah, to take that force, right.
And
where a four link doesn't have that.
Exactly. So like if you did like a four link with a Panhard,
yeah,
then that would definitely be stronger. But he says just different forces, that's not necessarily true. It has to come within a
disclaimer.
Yeah, an asterisk there.
Right.
So
when front force hits.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
not a side force.
Yeah. So yeah, three link versus four link. Thanks, Hussey. Always watching after our physics on the show. Mm-hmm. He's our physics producer, we'll put it that.
There you go. Sounds good.
And then we also had somebody else write in and say that the T100s never came with a V8.
Yes.
Which 100% correct. They were all 3.4s, I believe.
No.
Oh, really?
There were some 3.0s.
Really?
And I think there were some 4-cylinders. But they never came with a V8. I don't know where I saw that. I read that somewhere, and mm-hmm. I was super shocked and stoked. And I was like, I need to find one of those. That'd be a cool rig to build up.
Uh-huh. Because I could have sworn that the T100 at one point came with a 1UZ motor. I think it was a 4.3 V8?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought I read that somewhere, but if not, then I am 100% mistaken, and I take back what I said. Thank you for keeping us honest, but I do know a majority of the T100s came with the 3.4 engine in it. So, I'm not sure which...
Well, the T100 was in production from 92 to 98.
Okay.
So, 94...
Yeah.
They switched over to the
3.4. The 3.4, yeah, so, 94 and a half. That makes sense.
About halfway through its circulation.
Okay.
But I'm here on the wiki page.
Uh-huh.
And it has a 2.7, a 3.0, a 3.4, and a 3.4 supercharged.
Oh, okay.
That's what it had in it.
Wow.
So it didn't have a 22RE, but it did have
the 3RZ. Okay.
The 2.7
yeah.
4-cylinder.
Okay. Interesting.
Which would be slow.
Yeah. I'm sorry to anybody who has a T100 with the 2.7 in it.
Yes. The 3.4 supercharged would be fun, though.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I still think a T100, if we can put a V8 in it or find a way to stick a V8 in there, that would be such a great build for a lot of different uses. And then, of course, the other note along with that is the T100, some of the axles came with the 8.4-inch ring and pinion in it.
Right.
And then...
First gen.
In the T100.
Yeah. Oh, T100.
The T100. Some of the axles had the 8.4. I forget which years then or what
probably
permutation.
Probably when the Tacoma started. So probably around 94.
96, 95, 94.
4, 5.
Yeah.
5.5.
Yeah. So that was the 8.4. The first gen Tundra had a 9.5, 9.5-inch ring and pinion in the rear. And then the second gen Tundra had the 10.5-inch, which is like 14-volt status.
Right. Yeah.
So
they're massive.
They're a huge thing. Big old thing back there. But another fun, interesting thing. Oh, I didn't put the file over on this new computer. Beer Andy sent us that file
mm-hmm.
with all of the different ring and pinion setups for all the different vehicles.
Right.
And so it turns out all of the like Sequoias and all the bigger SUVs, so Highlanders, Sequoias, and I want to say there's one other, they also all have 9.5-inch ring gears in their rear axle.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you could snag one of those if you uh-huh. want to go larger.
Uh-huh.
And probably get it for cheap.
You can probably get it for a lot cheaper because everyone's looking for those rear Land axles cruisers. Out of Land Cruisers.
Yeah.
So
just go get a Highlander or Sequoia. Uh-huh. I wonder if a Highlander has it.
I'd have to double check. Beer Andy did a great setup with everything. So I just need to pull up the file and we need to like take an episode to just go through it.
Yeah.
Like maybe we need to do a junkyard axle Toyota build. Their Toyota junkyard axle totally. Episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyways, that's on there. We'll get to that. But I know Sequoias was on the list. Mm-hmm. I just forget what years, and I thought there was another SUV on there. A Toyota specific SUV, not a Land Cruiser.
Right. I wonder I don't know. The Highlander seems like it's a smaller 4Runner in my mind.
Kinda,
so why
yeah.
wouldn't the 4Runner have a 9.5 if that was the case?
That's a good question.
We just need to check that list.
Yeah. So we'll get that information to you guys here on an upcoming episode. And we had a lot of really good feedback on the radio episode, episode 58.
Yes, we did.
So we are going to roll with your guys' feedback. We got some great listener questions. So next episode here, 62, is going to be a follow-up to the radios. We're going to start diving a little bit into ham radio, and then we're going to have like almost an all-inclusive episode on ham radio coming out in the future here as well. So hang tight for that. There's some teasers into what's coming up for you guys. And I think that's most of the updates we have.
That's good.
So we have Winter Fun Fest coming up in a couple days.
Yep.
So make sure you guys make it out to that if you're in the area.
You are prepare for rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prepare for rain and snow. It's going to be a wet, snowy weekend. So yeah, just be ready, be prepared for it. Turns out I looked into the signups and registrations, and the runs that you and I are going on all weekend are completely booked in full, while all the other runs still have spaces.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know I don't think there's any correlation to us there, but that'd be pretty cool if we end up with a bunch of listeners on the snow runs on Saturday and Sunday. So
nice. That would be fun.
That'll be a ton of fun. We'll be hanging out inside otherwise at the Snail Trail booth. So stop by and say hi to us. And that's about it for Winter Fun Fest. We have of course, the Jerk Pirates Off-Road March on the Capitol coming up the next weekend. So make sure you're there on the 31st to help support that.
It's not a weekend.
Friday.
It's a Friday.
Friday. Yeah. So sorry, near the weekend. On Friday the 31st. So make sure you're out there to support that in the morning. And then, of course, we have King of the Hammers immediately after that, and I'll be heading out there Saturday. So I'll be at Hammers from Saturday through Saturday, possibly Sunday. And then that Saturday as well, on Friday, the 31st, is when you're disappearing.
No, I fly out on the 1st.
Okay. So both of us are leaving and going on some big trip as of the 1st. And so Jimmy will be gone for a month. And we have a lot of really cool content already kind of lined up for everybody while Jimmy's gone. So
yeah.
Hopefully you won't even notice that he's gone.
They will. It's going to be the lowest viewed or listened to month.
Whatever. You get out of here. Get out of my studio. Thanks for letting us use the Snail Trail studio, by the way. So cool. That just about does. That does do it for all the updates, I believe.
Yeah, let's jump into the, I don't know, garage talk.
The garage talk.
Yeah.
As our buddies would put it. So we had some fun this weekend.
Yes, we did.
What did you do? Because you're looking a little more tannish / darker complexion than when I last saw you.
I took a somewhat spur of the moment trip to Kauai, the island of Kauai.
Ooh, is that in like the Philippines or something?
No. It's in the Hawaiian chain.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And just the assistant and I went over there, and we actually were able to get some super cheap tickets through Southwest.
Nice.
Because they just started flying there.
Oh, yeah.
And so we jumped online and grabbed some, like, one way was $50 or it was $200.
One way?
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Not the cheapest. I think they were coming out at like $89 at some points.
Uh-huh.
But we couldn't leave on those days.
Oh.
So, but it was, you know, it was less than $500 round trip.
Uh-huh.
So that's
not bad.
Not
to
bad
Hawaii.
To Hawaii.
Yeah, seriously.
So we went over there, flew over on Thursday, and hung out over the weekend, came home yesterday, Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We're recording here on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday. What is today?
Wednesday. Today's hump day.
Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So, see, I'm lost on time. But yeah, had a great time. Uh-huh. Got to, it was my second time to the island of Kauai.
Okay.
And so it was the assistant's first time to the Hawaiian Islands.
Oh, nice. I've never been to the Hawaiian Islands either.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You should go. They're fun.
I like mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I love mountains.
We went on a 4-mile hike.
Uh-huh.
Of like about 1,000 feet vertical.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay.
It was 2 miles up and then 2 miles back down.
Yeah.
We climbed to the top of the sleeping giant. It's like that. It looks from afar. It looks like a person laying down.
Okay.
And we hiked up to his chin. And then from that location, you get a near 360 degree view of the island.
Did you go by his phallic symbol?
No. Well, maybe. Sorry, I had to throw
that in there.
I was thinking about that when I was hiking up. There was a really bushy area.
Oh, really? Okay.
The whole, I mean, Kauai is the garden island.
Uh-huh.
So it gets, actually, fun fact, did you know, is Kauai that receives the most amount of rainfall in the world at approximately just short of 500 inches a year.
Holy shit.
Yeah. There's a small section up in one of the mountains that it pretty much doesn't ever stop raining. But down by the coast.
500 inches a year.
Yeah, it gets like 480 average or something like that.
That is nuts.
But down, like Princeville's on one side and that's the wet side, and it gets somewhere around 40 inches a year. And we're in Lihue, which is on the other side, and it gets about 20 inches a year.
Wow.
So it's even a stark difference from side to side.
Jeez.
But yeah, we went rum tasting. We went coffee tasting. They have like Kauai. There's a Kauai coffee, like Kona coffee.
Uh-huh.
You know, so there's a coffee spot. They have their few breweries on the island. Mm-hmm. And we went to Queen's Bath and the Spouting Horn. And yeah, did
the
a bunch.
Spouting Horn?
Yeah, there's a lava tube.
Okay.
That the wave will go into the lava tube, and then there's a hole on the top.
Oh, so it comes out as a water spout.
So it all comes out as a water spout.
Nice.
And it shoots like.
Is like there on the property pretty much? Or?
It was, I think it's in Papui. It's in it's another city.
Oh, I was thinking the Spouting Horn was a brewery or something.
No.
Oh, okay. It's a geographical landmark.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm caught up.
It's a lava tube that the wave goes into, and then all the water gets funneled up through the hole. And like a geyser shoots up into the air.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Queen's Bath is on the other side of the island in kind of Princeville area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Is that a brewery?
No.
Okay.
It's a bath.
Gotcha.
But it's a natural kind of hot tub in a way. Big, like the size of a small house.
Nice.
Maybe not. Maybe like 500 square feet.
How many people can you get in it?
Oh, geez. Like 40.
Okay. It's a fun time.
When it's not big waves and at low tide, the water won't go into the bath.
Oh, but interesting.
At high tide and or big waves, the water will go over the wall and into the bath.
Interesting.
So at certain times of the day or at certain times of the year, once it starts turning to low tide, it will just sit there in the sun and bathe in the sun and get really warm and sort of like a natural hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And then, but this time of year, we were there a few hours before the low of low tide, and the waves were still barreling over.
Oh.
So we jumped in sort of between sets and hopped out as fast as we could.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
That was the only time that we touched water.
Really?
Well,
so you were there
fully submerged in water.
Okay. So you were there for 3 days?
Yeah.
Three days, four nights?
Yep.
And you only went swimming, didn't even really go swimming. You just jumped in between wave sets.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
That was it. Well, yeah.
Aren't you a little water lizard?
Yeah, dude,
I'm
shocked I didn't go before swimming more often. One day we went to, first day we went on the hike, and we got super, it rained that morning, and we were literally tromping through, mud. Ankle deep mud the whole way up.
Jeez.
And so we're like, we just got to go home and clean ourselves off.
Yeah.
And we were going to do Queen's Bath that day, but the hike down to Queen's Bath is gnarly. And it would have been a nasty, slippery fest on the way down. And then we went out to dinner that night and just relaxed. And then the next day we went zip lining.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
First time I've ever been
zip lining. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Through canopies.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, right.
I would have thought that you would have done zip lining when you were 2.5.
I've done, yeah. I've done small ones where you have to hold on yourself, or the little tiny ones at the playgrounds. I've done ones like that.
Okay.
But this one had a half mile long
nice
stretch.
Uh-huh.
And I have a feature on my watch that's it. does skiing at mode.
Okay.
And so it will track you as soon as your acceleration will start. It'll start tracking you how fast you go and how far you go. And it was a half mile and I got up to 45 miles an hour.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Nice. And then a few other ones I hit 30 and 35 miles an hour. But what was fun about this one was they kind of let you almost go in whatever position you wanted to go down, with exception of one or two. But we were like, they called it Superman style, where you're strapped in on your back and you're
and you just
fly down. And then one of them, they sent us down upside down. Like they strapped it in and we were dangling and we put our feet on like where you're supposed to put your hands. We went down backwards. I tried to have them put me in upside down Superman, but they're like, no, you wouldn't see anything. It wouldn't be that fun. I'm like,
just watch everybody go away from you as you're going.
Yeah. So we did that. So that was fun. And then we did a cruise. The next day we did a cruise in the Nepali coast, which is like where Jurassic Park's filmed and Pirates of the Caribbean's filmed and like that area where they find the egg.
I thought Pirates of the Caribbean was filmed in the Caribbean.
Yeah, part of it. Part of it was, but part of it was also filmed in Kauai. I guess the story there is Johnny Depp. He actually never broke character, and he would walk around in the streets of Kauai and handing out like gold nuggets of some sort. Like my guess is the ones with candy, because man, if he was handing out real gold, but he would just walk around town still in his
in character.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And it's full garp and all, but yeah, he would run around. So, but the Nepali coast.
Do you think he does that for the Harry Potter movies too?
Wasn't in Harry Potter.
He is in the Fantastic Beasts.
Oh.
Sorry. Fantastic Beasts movies.
maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Grindelwald goes running around London as Grindelwald. Maybe. Anyways.
One kind of cool thing about the island of Kauai is the Nepali coast is so steep that they can't really, or they haven't, and they probably won't build a road there. Because it's sort of like the really steep section of Highway 1.
Okay.
And so you can't literally drive around the island all the way.
Huh.
You can do like 3/5 of the island. And then there's this small chunk that of the Nepali coast that doesn't have any way to go through. Huh. But there is a hiking trail. And it's, I can't remember how long it is. It's not terribly long. It's like 8-12 miles, something along those lines. But you pass like 20 waterfalls.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and on a few stretches though, you're like, on a 1.5-foot ledge with a few hundred foot cliff down to the ocean.
Good times.
Yeah. But I want to do
it. And it's always raining there too. So you have
that section. Yeah. That section is usually wet.
Yeah.
But where they, like in Jurassic Park, where they fly in and at the very beginning of the very first one where, and there's the waterfall that's falling down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of the Nepali coast.
Wow.
So we got to see that.
Nice.
That section.
That's pretty cool.
Which you can only see by, you know, hiking it, boat or helicopter or plane, I guess.
Yeah.
But you can't get there by car.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. Did you know that Hawaii is formed from a hole in the Earth's crust?
Called a volcano?
No. Well, yes, but it's like, I forget exactly what it's called. It's not a volcano. It's something else. But it is essentially the Pacific crust that it's on.
The tectonic plate.
The tectonic plate is moving across this really hot spot in the Earth.
I think it's the difference between like the oceanic tectonic plate and the Pacific Ocean or tectonic plate. No?
Nope. Oh. There's literally a hole. Like it's just a hot spot in the Pacific plate. And as the Pacific plate moves from north kind of southeast, it creates an island chain from this hot hole.
Yeah.
And so
then that's creating the volcanoes.
And that's creating the volcanoes and the Hawaiian Islands. Yeah.
Do you know what the tallest mountain on Earth is from bottom to top?
It's underwater. That's all I know. I know it's not.
It's the Big Island of Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From the very bottom of the ocean to the tip top of the mountain is some crazy tall number.
Really? Mm-hmm. How tall is it? I don't know. Because Everest
I argued Everest, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you're going from the bottom of the ocean, why don't you choose the lowest part of the ocean and go all the way up to Everest? And
that's
the tallest. And everybody's like, no.
It's not the base of the mountain.
But it also snows in Hawaii.
Oh, really?
On the Big Island.
I didn't know that.
On the volcano, it snows up there, and there's a ski lift.
Really?
You can go skiing up there.
Nice. Mm-hmm. We'll have to send Jason from Willy Wine and Whiskey out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was a good time. It was good to get away. I actually disconnected completely for the last few days. I don't know if anybody else noticed. I had the YouTube one pop out while I was gone, automatically scheduled it, and I didn't do any updates on Instagram or anything. So
I heard that you posted a post about a turtle and put a, like a Ninja Turtle thing over its face. And I was like, I never saw the post. Was that a story?
Yes, it was a story.
Okay, that would be why I never saw
and
it.
And it was on my personal account.
Oh, okay.
Not Snail Trail.
Do I not follow your personal account?
I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. Jason told me that.
Yeah. So. He called me up. And he's like, I just left your house. And I'm like, what? Which reminds me, we need to go to the shop and get something. But
did our delivery driver drop something off in the incorrect place again?
Somewhat. They dropped it off right in front of the shop.
All
right. But he was cracking up. He's like, that post you did was so funny. He's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I just typed a GIF of Ninja Turtles and it gave me Leonardo with just the sash of Leonardo.
Like it was over his eyes, essentially.
And it was blinking. And then there was a sea turtle on the beach and I took a photo of it and then I searched Ninja Turtle because it was lazy. And I was going to do like Michelangelo just laying down or something. And then that one popped up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And I shrank it down and put it right over the turtle's eyes.
That's funny.
It was rad. But yeah, I saw a bunch of sea turtles. Didn't get it. Saw a bunch of dolphins. Saw some whales.
Nice.
Yeah, on the cruise, we went through like a 100 dolphin area.
You see any Toyotas? Out in the wild?
Tons. There's
really?
It was my happy place.
It was your happy place?
Tons of Toyotas.
Yeah.
The assistant was like, what are you looking at? I'm like, Toyota, 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 Toyota. Literally, they were like, the roads were lined with them. They were people like, I mean, there was a Honda in there occasionally. Like, it was crazy. Nice. I mean, there was a few Fords and a few Chevys, and but it was probably 5-to-1 Toyotas.
Nice.
And a lot of second-gen
Tacomas. It wasn't a 5.29-to-1?
No. 5.29-to-1.
5.29-to-1?
Yeah. A lot of second-gen Tacomas.
Nice.
A few 4Runners, a lot of first-gen Tacomas. I saw a lot of lifted, like, third-gen Tacoma, or pickups.
Nice.
Okay. Third-gen pickups. There was a lot of
35s or bigger lifted?
Yeah, but I don't know. They must
IFS
do
IFS lifted. Solid axle lifted?
A lot of IFS. They didn't do, nobody was really doing any solid swapping that I noticed.
Okay.
But they were on like 33, 35s with like an 8-inch lift.
Jeez.
So, obviously different style of wheeling over there.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure why they would do that. See, they seem too tall.
Seems like it's too tall, and then you're throwing off your whole front-end geometry with an IFS going that tall.
Yeah, well, they were doing, they do the drop
sections. Like a whole subframe almost kind of thing?
Yeah, a whole subframe and everything.
Gotcha, okay.
So while I was over there, I kind of just did some random Instagram hashtag searches.
Okay.
Like Tacoma Kauai or off-roading Kauai or, you know, just Toyota Kauai. And I tried to find somebody in the off-roading community there. And I found a guy named Braun S.C.H. Waga. B-R-A-U-N-S-C-H-W-A-G-A.
Schwaga.
Schwaga.
Braun Schwaga. It's a funny name, Schwaga.
Kind of like brown sugar.
Yeah.
But he was a local boy in Kauai. And I said, hey, any good wheeling spots out here? Like, where can I go? What should I do? And he pretty much was like, there's a few really good trails, but you would not be able to take your rental truck. And I was like, well, I did got a Hyundai, so not going to be able to wheel that anyway.
No, that's when you say challenge accepted.
Right, right. But he told me a few good spots to go to, so maybe on my next vacation out there, I will try to hook up with some of them earlier.
Or during your 50-state trip?
Yeah. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but it's a good dream.
Yeah.
You know, I think I had that dream before I was serious with the assistant. Now that I'm serious, I don't think she'll let me go for a year.
Yeah, that's true. You're already going to be gone for a month.
I know. She's freaking out.
Is she breaking up with you for the month?
I hope so. Yeah, a little South American play.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Hope she doesn't listen to this.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, so... Okay, secretary doesn't either, so we can say whatever we want.
Yay.
Just so long as people don't share it with them.
Right, yeah.
What happens and is said on the Snail Trail podcast stays on the podcast.
Shouldn't get relayed back to the assistants or secretaries' IG, fake IG profiles.
Yes.
Which we don't run, seriously.
Don't run. Yeah.
And secretary doesn't have one yet.
Though. Not yet. Yeah. She keeps talking about making one. I'm like, go ahead, make it. I'm not going to make it for you. So. Right.
But yeah, that was so that was pretty much my weekend.
Nice.
Spent trying to relax on an island, but running around like crazy people trying to see everything.
That's one of the catch-22s of vacations. It's usually in a place that you want to spend some time and see stuff at, but then you also want to relax on your vacation.
Yeah.
You don't get to do both.
No, totally. We did have an evening where we sat down and watched the sunset, like relaxed on the beach, watched the sunset. The sign said no smoking, no littering, no driving, but it didn't say anything about alcohol. So we had a few beers out there, relaxed. And the sun went down, but there was like a marine layer way out in the middle of nowhere, or a cloud way out there that you couldn't really see. So we couldn't literally see the sun go into the water. It went behind a cloud far out. And then we were on the last day, because we wanted to watch a sunset. That actually went into the water. And we didn't get to it. So the last day when we were leaving, I said, let's wake up a little early and let's go watch the sunrise. Because it's an island, we can just drive to the other side of the island and watch the sun come up through the water. And so we went over there and there's this huge, massive gray cloud coming at us. And we couldn't see the sunrise either.
That means you got to go back now.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. That's when, Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey gave me a call and said he was over here dropping something off. And I was like, I'm watching the sunrise. And he's like, wait, what? Where are you? What's going on?
Nice.
And he's like, that makes sense. So,
yeah. Well, cool. While you were off playing in Hawaii, I got to go and play with Hussey.
Yeah.
So, that was fun. We got a lot done. Well, I showed up and he said that he was wrestling some Unimog axle
portal boxes,
portal box bolt nuts,
the spindle nut
off of the portal box.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, sure. And he said, yeah, my buddy's coming over, Steve, and he's helping. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll just come over and hang out while you guys do that, and then when you're done we can work on the cross member, maybe building a new cross member for Kermit. So I went over there and they were literally wrestling.
It was gnarly.
It was pretty gnarly. So
I saw his Instagram posts.
Yeah, so what they did, they tried at first was a giant crowbar and a jack, right?
Okay.
And on a wrench and everything. So they had the wrench with a pipe in it and the crowbar in it to get like this 4 or 5 feet of leverage with a jack, and they bent to the wrench, and then they bent the crowbar, and so he goes, "All right, I got to find another way to do this."
Right.
And so, those of you who know Jason, he has this crazy mind where he can figure out his engineering, right?
Yeah.
And so, and he also has access to a water jet CNC table.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes, well, I'll just build something. Very, very purposeful build. It'd be fun. He like loves little projects of building stuff, right? It's taken him 7 years or whatever, 4 years to build his buggy. And he's like, I've got no problem with it. It keeps me busy. You know, I love finding out ways to do stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. Anyway, so he built a contraption to hold the spindle, to hold the portal box, right?
Yeah.
And then out of 3/4-inch plate.
That's what he put it on?
That's what he put it on. So this whole, the entire contraption is made out of 3/4-inch plate.
Holy cow.
And then he
that
made,
was just the base.
That's just the base that the portal box goes onto, and the base has a bait and then support beams and a bracket that comes up straight in the middle of it.
Okay.
That has holes
right
to bolt the studs, the wheel studs from the portal box into this bracket.
Right. And so, but is the upright piece of metal 3/4 inches also?
Everything on it was 3/4 inch.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Okay.
So, he's got
I'm sure that was nice and light.
So, they have this contraption, right? And I get there and I'm looking at it. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with
what
that?
What is that for? So, they have it all set up and they're bolting it all together. And then he puts this arm that he pulls out. And it's this perfectly shaped and curved arm. It's curved like 3 or 4 times. With at the end of the arm, is a like a notch for, like, I don't know, it's a 3-inch diameter notch in the arm.
Radius.
Radius. 3-inch diameter radius. No, 3-inch diameters. No, maybe 4-inch diameter.
Okay.
Hole that was like a half circle in the very end of this arm.
Okay.
That's made out of 3/4-inch plate.
Oh, geez.
And on the other end of this arm is the perfect size cutout for the axle nut, for the spindle nut of the Unimog, for the portal box. So he has this one on the nut, and he's got the other end of the arm way down below, and he's using a 30-ton jack with another piece of...
Bottle jack.
A bottle jack, 30-ton bottle jack, with a another piece of 3/4-inch plate that's been cut out to match the circle in the arm. So that as he jacks up the arm...
The bottle jack goes up.
The bottle jack goes up, but it always has a flat or consistent surface to push up on the arm with, rather than getting off cantilevered on
so
the bottle jack.
So while the arm is raising, the two spheres are rotating.
Exactly.
So it's always pushing straight up.
Exactly.
And getting a good contact.
Yes.
That's Hussey's mind for you right there. Like, how are we going to solve this? Oh, we'll just add a radius section to that.
I got to watch that, and it was the bottle jack was not very happy. A 30-ton bottle jack was not super happy. It was just going really slow. It was working, but it was going super slow.
Okay.
And so we're like, well, what happens if we just swap it out and use the floor jack? It's only 3,000 pounds as opposed to 60,000 pounds.
Right.
But we'll have a little more leverage. I'm sure the jack can handle more than 3,000 pounds. It's just what its working load is. And so let's try that. And we put it on there, and it just went coo, coo, coo. And with like 3 or 4 pumps, it moved it like 4 inches or something like that. We're like, oh, this is so much better.
Nice. And so it was rotating.
It rotated, absolutely. Yeah, broke it loose and got the spindle nuts off. We used that contraption for 2 of those.
Wow.
But yeah, I was like, I just rolled up and I saw them. I'm like, what is this? He goes, so I built it. And I was like, what are we doing with it?
Of course you did.
Yeah. So it's really cool. I put a video up on my Instagram feed at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. So if you guys want to see how this works, go look at that feed there. But it was very impressive just to kind of...
Yeah.
I'm like, I would have never, ever have thought to build something like that for this.
Not at all.
So anyways, that's just how his mind works, and it's fantastic to watch in action. And so the rest of the day, we built my rear crossmember, and I learned a ton. The awesome thing about hanging out with Hussey and having him help work on stuff is that he explains in great detail every single thing he's doing.
Right.
If you ask him.
Right. And everything he does has like a purpose.
It's crazy. A very explicit and specific purpose. Yeah.
He doesn't take shortcuts.
No, not at all.
He is A to B in the perfect way.
Yes. Yeah. And so just being able to sit there and say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Why'd you choose to do this versus doing this? And he explained everything and would explain all the physics and forces behind the interactions with whatever we were building and the stuff we were doing at that time. So it was fascinating. And then watching him weld and learning welding technique and welding tidbits of knowledge kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Everything regarding to welding that I've learned is from him.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool day. We got the crossmember in there. It's up. It's beautiful. It's going to never have to be redone ever again.
Right? And that's one of the best things about, you know, working with Hussey, Jason, is that, you know, he'll talk to you about what you want, what the end goal is, what the goal of the process is. And then working with you, he'll figure out the best solution for it to be versatile for what you need, but also permanent that it doesn't have to come out unless you're like changing an axle, changing something drastically that, you know, the solution that he'll come up with is a near permanent solution.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was cool. We got that all figured out. And then when, at the end of the day, we went to, or I guess not that day, the next, no, I did. At the end of the day, I went home, drove it home without shocks on it. and went to put my shocks on. And my shocks, I went to put them on, and we purposely built the crossmember up from the frame rail almost into the floorboard, so I had more clearance there, more travel out of the shock, more up travel, I should say, out of the shocks, because that was my big issue in Baja. I had zero up travel, and I blew out the sheared off the crossmember.
Right.
And so I'm going to put my shocks in there, and I still, there's only like 3 inches of my shaft on my shocks showing. Once I get them into position, and we even set them up, you know, angled from the outsides of the axle housing to the center of the body, right?
Right.
And so I still only have 3 inches of shaft showing at about a 35-40 degree angle. So I only really have like 2.5 inches of up travel still. And so I was looking at him, and I, and he made a comment too. He goes, "How long are your shocks?" And I was like, "I'm pretty sure they're either 16 or 17 inch shocks because of how freaking long they are."
Yeah.
And I did some research, and he goes, "That's completely unnecessary. You're never going to use 16 to 17 inches of travel with leaf springs." And I was like, "Okay, I can see that. You know, I need to do a little bit more research about what's the full reach of my leaf springs and get a shock that's probably measured so I have the right amount of up travel as well." And I went and did some research. And my shocks are, they measure completely collapsed from eyelet to eyelet, 20 inches and 3/4.
Okay.
So 20 and 3/4 inches. How much of a travel do you think they are? They're Bilstein 5125s.
They're probably 15 inches.
14 inch travel. So there's an extra 6 3/4 inches of shock body and stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, oil reservoir.
That just seems like a lot to me.
It's built inside. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so I've got 14-inch shocks, so I ordered up some 12-inch shocks.
Well,
and I'm going to put those in, and they'll all have another 2 inches. So I'll go from 3 inches to 5 inches showing on the shaft.
But what might be interesting is seeing now if you're going to need limiting straps.
That'll be interesting to see.
Because have you done a full articulation on your rig to see when the tire starts coming off the ground?
Not this one.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I might have to play around and figure out whether I should be running the 14s and just severely bump stop it, or if running the 12s are going to be fine and maybe I just need to add a little bit of a limiting strap on there. I don't know. So
yeah. Well, one of these days we can, well, I mean, you're going to get the 12s, but
yeah. I have the 12s.
Oh, you already got them.
They're in the rig outside right now. Yeah.
We should lift up, use like the cherry pickers or one of those contraptions and lift up one of your tires as high as we can get it until the opposite tire comes off the ground.
Uh-huh.
And that should be your max extreme articulation.
Yeah.
And then we can measure
each side, figure
the
that out.
Compression and the stretch. And that should tell you what shock you're going
to
need.
I think we can go down to Stellar Belt, say hi to Dimitri, and use his lift.
Probably.
Hey, Dimitri, we just need to use your lift for 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'm sure he would be happy with
it. He probably would. Yeah. So anyway, so that's my crossmember and shock update. I officially have shocks back in the rig and rear shocks, and it's driving wonderfully. Or nice. was driving wonderfully.
Was?
Yeah.
Why was?
So... I also spent the weekend after I got done at Hussey's. I went up to the in-laws' place in Placerville.
Okay.
And they live up on a hill, kind of in the Coloma Lotus area. Do you know who else lives in Lotus?
I do.
Uh-huh. So it was fun.
Lotus Bonsai.
Yeah, Lotus Bonsai. Yeah, okay. Is that one of your bonsai clubs or bonsai people?
There's a bonsai shop there.
Oh.
No, there's called a shop Lotus there. Bonsai.
Okay.
Is that not what you're referring to?
That's not who I was referring to, ma'am.
Okay, well then, no.
The Gomez brothers live in Lotus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew they lived nearby.
And so I was up on the hill and I was working on my APRS setup, and I could hear some big V8 engines ripping around down the hill, and I was like, I bet you anything that's the Gomez brothers testing.
Awesome.
Getting ready for hammers here. But anyway, so I was up there, and... Do you remember when we drove out to Old Can Brewing and I had the overheating issue?
I do.
And we thought my radiator cap was pretty loose, right?
Yes, we did.
So driving up...
It was pretty loose, though.
It was very loose. It wasn't even on, pretty much. It was being held on by the hood. So I went up to Placerville, and when I got there, I parked, and there was steam billowing out from under my hood again. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You just have a and continuous so, problem with
overheating your vehicles.
Rigs overheating.
But anyway, so I open up the hood, and I'm looking. All the steam is coming out of the radiator cap, and I'm like, it's not triggering and going into the overflow at all. I'm like, what the hell? And so I start, I put on my gloves and I opened up the cap just a little bit, just popped it open, twisted it, and more steam came out of the cap. So I closed it back up real quick to the closed position.
No fluid?
No fluid. It was just a quick enough because I knew it was going to do it because I looked at the cap and I could see it was closed.
Yeah.
In the closed position. So I was like, okay, let's make sure it is actually closed. It's not, you know, if I open it, it's more.
So you didn't open it enough for fluid to come.
Exactly. Okay. And so. So sure as hell, the cap was just really loose and worn out. So I went down to auto parts store, picked up a new cap, put that on, and turns out the radiator in the in Kermit is out of a 3.4 engine. Because I went to the auto parts store and grabbed the 4-cylinder radiator cap, brought it back, wasn't the right size. Went back, got the 6-cylinder radiator cap, brought it back, wasn't the right size.
Oh my gosh.
And so I went back and they ended up pulling the radiator cap for a 3.4 out of a T100.
Interesting.
And because at that time I was like, okay, now I don't really know. I'm taking the old radiator cap with me. And so they pulled out a bunch of radiator caps and then looked up the part number of the one that matched the one I had, and it was for a 3.4 liter out of a T100.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, now I know.
You need to write that down.
Anyway, so I took that back. That fit perfect. It was no issues with it. And I was like, okay, cool. Refill it with water and drove home. And I got home.
You just put water in it?
I just put water in it because it still had some fluid in it. It hadn't emptied itself of fluid, of coolant. So I put water in it, get home, and I'm parked in my little driveway area. And I get out and I look and there's just coolant dumping onto my driveway. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what is going on with this stupid radiator cap? So I open up the hood and the radiator cap is on solid and it's boiling over into the reservoir, remote reservoir. And I'm like, okay, so that's going on. I'm looking over the top. There's no wetness, steam, anything on the top of the engine.
Okay.
And I'm like, great. Did I blow a radiator hose? What is going on? So I crawl under. Radiator hoses are all intact. Everything's solid. So I'm like, but everything's wet. But like everything's intact. So I just, and it's just dripping down from the front of the engine block. And I'm like, what is going on? What is leaking here? So I took some towels and put gloves on, just wiped everything down as best I could without burning myself.
Right.
And then let it sit there for a couple seconds and then shined a light up in there to kind of track where the leak was coming from. And it was coming from the water pump.
Okay.
On the front of the engine block. So I'm like, okay, so it's 4:35 p.m. on Martin Luther King Day. I can either go to an auto parts store and grab a new gasket. I think I have a gasket in my spare parts. Or I can just go to an auto parts store, if there's one still open, and just grab a new water pump and gasket and bring it back and have it, both of them in case I need them. Whatever I don't need, I can return. Or I can tear off the water pump as quick as I can, figure out what's actually wrong, and then go to the auto parts store. And I was like, it's 5 p.m. I checked around. Most of the auto parts stores on that holiday were closing at like 6 to 7.
Right.
I was like, that's going to cut it too close. So I just ran down to the nearest auto parts store, picked up a new water pump and gasket, brought it back, and installed it all. And turns out when I pulled the old water pump, there's weeping holes on the water pumps on the face where the pulley attaches to, that flange there.
Yeah.
Just underneath it are some weeping holes. And water, the coolant water was all coming out of there.
Okay,
and turns out those weeping holes on water pumps, and apparently this is the same on almost every single vehicle that has a water pump. They're designed with a fail-safe in it. So that if your water pump fails on you and the bearings go out in the fan, then it lets water through and gives a pressure release to the system, because it's not cycling water anymore. It's just heating up. So it pressurizes, has a pressurized release for the system. So you don't blow radiator hoses and other things in your coolant system.
And it's sort of a warning.
It's a warning as well.
Water coming out of the front of your engine.
Exactly. So it's a visual warning. So I learned that. And turns out, yeah, that was what was going on. So the seals and bearings are going out.
Did you try to spin it? Would it spin?
It would. And it spun way, way easier than the new water. Or sorry, I forget which one was spinning. No, it did. It spun way easier than the new water pump.
Interesting.
So I don't know if it just like the grease and the bearings inside were getting gone enough that it was just free floating in there and it wasn't sitting on anything. I might have that around. I don't know.
Well, but anyways, think that
it was spinning, but one of them was they were spinning a different amounts of friction to them. So put it all back in. Finished up about 9:30 at night when it was. It was 41 degrees outside when I finished up. So that was fun. And that was my water pump story of my emergency water pump. So while I was pulling the water pump, though, turns out my air intake tube that goes into the throttle body, it had a giant crack. Like it was like 3/4 of the way ripped through, like right where it goes into the goes around the throttle body.
Samantha had that problem.
Yeah. And so
that's a notorious place for them to crack, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the original rubber gets hardened just because it gets the rubber gets old. And then if the engine's moving, but that part's sort of stagnant and doesn't move. And that's probably
It's attached over on the fender rather than the engine. That makes sense.
What do you want to call that? Where the one part
moves.
It's
like flex tubing.
Yeah, where the flex tubing stops flexing, and that's the wear spot.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I ripped it apart, pulling it off.
Congrats.
Thank you. And so when I went into the auto parts store, I asked them how much for a new intake tube.
$30.
$93.
Cool.
$93 for this stupid little piece of tube that's 12 inches long.
I bought mine off of Rock Auto.
Rock Auto? Okay.
And it was $12 or $10.
Well, interesting, because I looked at the guy and said, "What? Excuse me?" He goes, "Yeah, $93. I was like, "For an intake tube?" And he goes, "Yeah," and he turned the monitor so I could see it. And I was like, "Yeah, that's the right one." And I was like, "That's outrageous. So you can get them.
Like desk stick."
Yeah. I was like, "You can get these for like $20 to $30 at the most at other places." And he goes, "Maybe you should go get it from them then." I said, "Okay, I will.
I'm going to."
And I found it on Amazon for $15.
Yeah, maybe that's so. Right. I can't remember. Maybe it was Amazon that I got it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what Rock Auto's. I got it either off of Rock Auto or Amazon.
Yeah. Rock Auto has great prices.
Samantha's this today. Did it look similar?
Yeah. It looked exactly like Amazon. But anyways, I was amazed. Air intake tube, $93.
Yeah. And I didn't want to go get one at the junker because it's going to be old and probably crack sometime soon, too.
Yep.
So that's what I wanted to get.
I wonder if no squeak would work on revitalizing intake tubes.
Maybe, but we can't talk about that yet. That's coming up in the future episode number 70.
Yes, it is. So that was my air intake tube. While I was under I was letting the radiator drain because I thought I was going to have to pull the radiator and the fan and everything. Turns out I was able to just pull the fan. Then I had enough space. I didn't need to pull the radiator. But while the radiator was draining, I installed my wireless winch remote.
Nice.
So I was able to get that done. So I'll have the wireless winch set up for Winter Fun Fest this weekend if I ever need to use it to pull you out of the snow.
Yes, probably. I know that this somewhat along winch related topics. I know when Hussey and you were over at my house last week. You guys were talking about
your winch. Oh, my. Okay.
Your rear winch. When you guys were doing the cross member, was anything along winch related working back there?
No.
That'll be another project.
Yep, that's going to be another project. I did decide because I went down and cleared out the air tank and my locker manifold, my custom home built one. I removed all that. And once I was under there, I was like, it is really nice not having this air tank under here taking up all the room. And I've given up trying to use air tools. I think I'm just going to start investing in 20 volt Milwaukee or DeWalt's or something like that. Mm-hmm. Their setups, the kits there. So I'm not going to run an air tank anymore. Just going to run the twin ARB straight out with no air tanks. So I'll have all that space now under there to put more batteries, maybe.
Yeah.
And the rear winch. So I'll have all the space to set up a rear winch underneath the rig there. And talking to Hussman, I think we have kind of a plan of how he thinks would be the best way to do it. And he's usually spot on. So I'll have to circle back around with him to talk about it further. But I have the winch. I'm sitting in my garage.
Yep.
I have the whole dual battery setup sitting in my garage. So I just need a battery box made, and then I'll have a second battery to hook up the second winch to. And then I'll be able to run the dual battery and dual winches.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool. The APRS setup I got done this weekend. So that's all set up, ready to go for hammers. I don't have a mount on my dashboard for the APRS and the tablet, because the dashboard of the second gen 4Runner and the way that the front windshield sits, there's not enough space between the dashboard and the windshield for a 10-inch tablet.
Got it.
So I either have to go to a 7-inch tablet or an 8-inch, or figure out a new mounting position. And I think I'm going to put it over in front of the passenger dashboard, because I don't have an airbag.
Right.
So yeah. I think I'll put it over there. And when I take apart the dash to do that, I'm going to put in a grab handle for the passenger as well. So
is it going to be off the A-pillar?
No, it'll be on the support for the dash inside. Okay. So either off of that, or I will flange it to a ram mount on top of the dash and then have it come out and sit down in front of the dash.
Right.
So I haven't figured out quite how I'm going to do it yet, but I need to set it up in a way that the passenger can be my navigator when I have a passenger. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have a passenger, that I can turn the screen so I can see it.
Right.
So now I've got to play around with that. But I have...
So, mm-hmm. I've got an APRS question, so finish what you thought.
So I have the APRS all set up. The radio and APR system is working beautifully. I just have to throw the tablet into my back pocket of my seat, or just throw it on the passenger seat or something when I'm running around with the rig.
Right.
Or
either Winter Fun Fest or KOH.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So that'll be really cool. And then along APRS topics.
Okay.
I started talking with Ultra 4 Jones about radio comms.
Yes.
Down at Hammers.
And before we go there, can I ask my question?
Sure.
So APRS, so you're downloading the map mm-hmm. on Gaia.
Yes.
And you're running the map on the tablet. You're running Gaia with the map on the tablet.
With a map on the tablet.
Uh-huh. And then are you able to... Can you visualize... So I have APRS in my rig.
Mm-hmm.
You have APRS in your rig. Mm-hmm. I don't have a screen, so I can't see anybody. I can only transmit.
Yeah.
But can you see where I am on yours?
I cannot see it on Gaia, though.
Okay. You can see it on that APRS Go...
APRS Droid.
Droid.
There's an app, yeah. So the app, you can, if you have internet connection, it'll automatically download maps as you go, right? As you mm-hmm. travel to a new square on a map, it'll download it for you.
Okay.
And overlay all the incoming signals that it's receiving on that map.
Got it.
The problem is that you can't access the way the app comes by default, you cannot access those maps without an internet connection. So what you have to do...
You have to download the maps earlier.
You have to download OpenStreetMaps, and there's a way to unlock the app and tell it to load maps. Instead of loading maps from Google Maps on the internet, load the maps from your file on your phone. So there's a way to kind of crack the app.
Got it.
To have it do that.
Right.
So
you're running two apps then at the same time, probably, because you're mm-hmm. going to be running Gaia mm-hmm. to map where you've been or follow mm-hmm. the tracks to see where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're running APRS Go?
Droid.
Droid. Yep. APRS Droid. That app to follow everybody in the group.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
So,
and then along those lines, we need to actually turn on my APRS.
Yeah, we need to actually have your APRS transmitting.
Yeah.
So,
so back to good old Kevin Jones.
So Kevin Jones brought up this idea because he listened to Wheeling Wine and Whiskey's episode with Amber. Mm-hmm. She's going to be running the Samurai in the 4600 class.
Yes.
Down at Hammers this year.
On
31s. And she said that she's going to have somebody up on Fisher Mountain being kind of her radio communications relay for the trip.
I heard that.
So Kevin asked me if I've ever done something similar. And he asked Eddie if Eddie's done that before. And Eddie said that he has. And it never really worked out great. That he's always found that it was more valuable to have that person instead of using that person as a relay up on Fisher Mountain to have them in a pit somewhere to help out with pit crew stuff.
Right.
And so, but if you have more people available.
Yeah, that's because Eddie does. And when we are doing working for Eddie, we don't have
a lot of people.
We're running from pit stop to pit stop.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have enough people to, you know, oh, you're working remote pit one, and then you're done for the day. You know, we had to go from remote pit one to 2A to 2B and run around.
You had to race the racers to the pits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somebody had an extra, if you had extra hands.
But if you have an extra hand, it might be nice to have somebody up there. So I talked with Kevin and the other two guys that's going to be racing on Everyman Challenge Day, the 4800 class. So Art Stein and Josh Ebel and their crews. And I talked with those guys. I said, hey, would you guys rather me be a radio communications point at one of the pit crews? Or would you rather have me up on Fisher Mountain trying to be a relay for the cars and the pit crews all day long? And all of them said they'd rather have me on Fisher Mountain.
Cool.
So I'm like, okay, so that's kind of cool. Then my brain started going about what else I can do while I'm up there to help pass my time. And I was like, this could be a great year to play around with APRS. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build little portable APRS packages in Tupperware boxes that are all self-sustained on battery packs and everything.
And put it in their rigs.
And put them in their rigs.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
So it should be really cool to see if the APRS signal is able to work throughout the entire race course. Mm-hmm. It's also going to tell me, give me a good idea of where are the dark spots on the race course from Fisher Mountain. But it's going to be cool to be able to track them throughout the whole thing, which has always been a problem in the past because every car has a GPS tracker on it.
Correct.
That everybody in the world can look at and see exactly where that car is on the race course.
Yeah.
Except for the people that need to know where the race car is on the race course, the pit crews. Because the pit crews don't have cell reception.
No, they don't.
And so everybody in the world knows where the car is at, except for the people that need to know where the cars are at. So Kevin was actually saying how last year he was able to keep track of race cars by helping in a pit crew by texting one of the pit crew's mothers back in their home that's watching the race on TV and looking up the GPS tracker signal on her internet at her house and then texting the cars back to the pit crews.
Oh my gosh.
And that's how they were able to keep track of the cars somewhat.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So it'll be really cool to see.
There is cell phone reception out there. Mm-hmm. Except when there's 75,000 people or 60,000 people out there.
You'll get full bars.
You just can't make the call or you can't download the thing that you need to download. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just there's too many people trying to use it all at the same time.
From what I've heard from somebody who kind of knows the layout of cell towers in that area, there's one cell tower that services Johnson Valley.
Oh, geez.
And so you think 75,000 people are trying to use one cell tower.
Right.
You got full service. I mean, you got full bars. You just, there's no bandwidth there to do anything
exactly.
And so that's the issue of Johnson Valley and communications down there. So I think it should be really cool to see how these APRS packages work on the rigs from while I'm down there. So it'll be a fun experiment.
Is there any issue with if there's some other person up there trying to do the same thing that you are and having two antennas? And
no.
I mean, you're just on different frequencies.
You're usually on different frequencies.
Because maybe there might be some advantage for you to join that person and at least have a buddy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I'm sure going to talk to people up there because I'm I know I won't be the only person up there.
Okay.
So I'll talk to people and see what they're doing and see what they have for radio setups and kind of compare notes.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be running 50 watts on my big radio to relay information between the pit crews.
Yeah.
Because according to where the pit crews, I believe, are set up, I should have line of sight to each pit crew from on top of Fisher Mountain. And so the I'll be running 50 watts. So I'm hoping I don't wipe out the front end receive on other people that are around me.
Yeah.
And then I hope that also they don't do the same thing to me. But we'll see. We just have to wait and see when I get up there what everything's like.
Interesting.
But yeah,
it'll be a fun experiment.
It'll be a really fun experiment. I'm excited. My geekiness and nerdiness is coming out. I'm getting all prepped and excited for
so that. Is everybody that you're gonna be possibly looking over or have be the eagle in the sky for are they all on the same day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. They're all racing the 4800 on Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
On the hump day there. So the other cool thing about Hammers coming up is that we have the media pass.
Yeah.
So me and CJ with the CJ is going to be our photographer for the event. We got business cards.
Yep.
And I had to laugh because I didn't think you were actually going to do this. But my business card, my job, my job title is operational overlord on my business card to get into the media tent at Hammers.
Perfect.
So, I thought it was very entertaining. It was great.
What was Kobe's?
Kobe's was, a creator of opportunities.
Yeah. And mine is a social media trailblazer.
There you go. Social media trailblazer. And then CJ's is just photo and videographer.
Yeah.
You needed to put the soulless ginger on there.
I thought about that. But since we're kind of skating some of the rules here, to get CJ in underneath Snail Trail 4x4. Mm-hmm. As the media pass, I wanted to copy what he submitted as
Is that what he did submit?
Yeah, that's so that he submitted video or photographer and videographer, so I put photo and videographer on his business.
Okay, that makes more sense then. I'll give you a pass there.
Yeah, otherwise I would have done something fun and told him to submit this way.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, fair enough. So while I've been...
Sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Overlord.
I know, jeez. You're fired.
Isn't that what...
You're fired for the next
StarCraft.
28 days.
Weren't those Zerg things, the overlords? Uh-huh. And weren't you a Zerg player?
I was Terran.
Oh, you were Terran.
I was mainly Terran player. Yeah. I was top two in the world for the Zero Clutter, 3v3 Zero Clutter maps.
Nice.
When I was playing. So that's another whole side of me. But
I was like, what was below bronze?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was funny, though. I'd play with a buddy of mine, and we'd play like 3v3.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be, we would be matched against like three guys that were golds.
Uh-huh.
He was like diamond, and he had two friends that were bronze. And
so you averaged out to be...
So we averaged out to be gold.
Uh-huh.
But, and he would play so well that he would be able to send us resources and protect us and still fight off the people so that we could just build up our army enough to like, okay, we're ready to go fight.
Nice.
I like that game.
That was a fun game, yeah. So coming up and getting ready for Hammers, I still have for the rig. I've done a lot to it right now, but I stopped to do the rear ARB seals.
Yep.
And
possibly tomorrow.
Hopefully tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Put the new intake tube on, which I can do in 30 seconds, no problem. And I have it now. It showed up at my door. I got a nice picture. And put the new rock lights on.
Okay.
So I have current rock lights on right now, but it doesn't get a good spread. Mm-hmm. It's just a spotlight straight down at the ground.
Yeah, that's the lowest priority out of the list you just
said. Completely low priority. Like the big thing is the intake tube and the ARB seals. Once those are done, then it's just kind of like, what are the creature comforts I want to do to the rig to get it ready for everything?
Right.
So that's what I still have to do. I've been scheduling interviews.
Yeah.
And scheduling the events for the week of Hammers.
Yeah, we have a few good ones lined
up. We have a few really good ones. And just to kind of
by
tease,
we, I mean you. Since I won't be there.
True. But to tease you guys with what you kind of have to look forward to from some of the content that we're going to be making out at Hammers... we're going to have an interview with a UTV 4800 class team. So what these two guys do is one of them owns the 4800 car, the other one owns the UTV, and they trade off positions, right? So one of them's a driver and the other one's the co-pilot, the right seat, which usually, in my opinion, right seat is far more difficult of a job to do. And they trade off between the UTV and the 4800 car.
Cool.
And so it's funny to hear them kind of go back and forth and bitch at each other about, oh, you're not navigating. Oh, we missed that turn back there, blah, blah, blah. And then he's now navigating in the UTV, and he's getting bitched at for missing turns and everything. He goes, how do you do this in the 4800 car? So it'll be really cool to see their interview and compare and contrast the two different car styles and, you know, right seat versus driver and get their opinions on stuff. We also have another one with longtime wheelers in the NorCal, very ingrained in the wheeling scene and community in NorCal, and they're very involved with a lot of the organizations, wheeling organizations in NorCal.
A husband and wife
husband
team.
And wife team. So it'll be really cool to kind of get their perspective and see their history on how wheeling has developed in the rock crawling community specifically over the years. And then we have another awesome interview. I'm not going to tell you who it's with.
It's another big name.
It's another big name. We'll just leave it at that. You guys are going to want to hear that one.
4800 and Ultra 4?
I believe he's doing 4800 and his first race in 4400 this year. So,
And I think he's done side-by-sides in the past, too.
I believe he has. Yeah. But he's also gotten to drive Gladiators.
Oh, yeah?
And some other vehicles in Ultra 4 races. So, so we'll get to talk to him and see about how his life has been. And then, of course, you know, Hammertown is going to be a shit show of debauchery and shenanigans.
Right.
Especially with the three podcasts coming back together.
Yeah. Which is going to be fun because I, you know, when we were in Vegas, it was Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, Jason and Chris, me, Snail Trail, 4x4, and Mike from the Mike and Max Off-Road podcast. Mm-hmm. So this time it's going to be the same group, except you and I are switching.
Yes.
You're going to be there and I'm not.
Yeah.
And so, you're going to have a blast.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mike is Mike. Like,
that's what I keep hearing.
The way he is on the podcast is the way he is in person.
It's so funny. Like, ever since kind of listening to you guys, to you and Wheeling Wine and Whiskey talk about him, now that I've heard a lot about his personality, listening to him on the podcast, he's so like, topic. Oh, another topic. Oh, another topic. Oh, something else is shiny.
He's
something.
All squirrel all day long.
So I'm excited to hang out with you, Mike, for the week out at Hammers, or at least the Wednesday through Saturday that you're going to be there. That should be a lot of fun.
What was funny in Vegas was, I think when he first met us, he was a little bit calm or subdued, just because he didn't want to be like Mike flat out of the gate.
Scare everybody.
Yeah, scare everybody. But by the end, it was like, oh man, why weren't you like this like 2 days ago? Yeah. This is awesome.
Well, that'll be fun because he's going to be comfortable with Chris and Jason. So I'll get the full mic effect.
He'll be in full force.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a fun. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody else is looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll probably be another three-parter.
Yeah. It's going to be a long episode, I have a feeling. So, and we're going to have CJ there as well. So he'll be in on the episode too.
So it'll
Kobe will probably be sleeping in the background.
Probably. You can have CJ jump on in my place.
Yeah. I'll have to share a mic with him.
You should bring these mics because we were down a mic
when
we recorded in.
Well, I'm going to have all the recording equipment. So because I'll be recording with four people at one time during the interviews.
Got it.
And then I'll have the soundboard, the new laptop, and everything set up there in the Taj Mahal RV.
Right.
Cool. So it'll be a good time. I think that just about does it for this show.
Yeah. Hopefully, if you guys are in the area, come out to Winter Fun Fest.
Yeah, definitely. Come out, say hi. I'd love to see you. Love to hang out with you guys. Prepare accordingly. It's going to be a wet weekend.
Yeah. Cold.
Wet and cold weekend. If you
trying to figure out in my head how to take the Tacoma and Bobcat up there, or maybe I could really quickly build a rack for a Clifford,
mainly
for the rooftop tent.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to close the rooftop tent and then go wheel all day, and then come back and then open the rooftop tent.
It'd be super simple to build. Well, I have to take a closer look at your bed rails on Clifford.
It would be a very similar thing to what's on Bobcat.
Oh, okay. There is a rail system there?
Kind of.
Okay. Then, yeah, we can easily build something and just U-bolt the bed rack from the Tacoma over
to
Clifford.
You just have to
build it. Yeah,
true. In a matter of days.
We can do it.
And it's not high on my priority list.
No. You've got other things to worry about.
Yeah.
Like packing for a month.
Uh-huh. And trying to get a bunch of videos.
Yeah. All right, well, cool.
Next week, we got a bunch of podcasts to record.
We have a lot of podcasts to record and get ready to get launched while Jimmy's gone. So without further ado, we're going to take off and hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We love hearing from you guys. We love getting feedback. We love getting emails. We love getting DMs on Instagram. So if you have any feedback or anything you want to let us know, even if it's just, hey, what's up? Send them on over. You can find the emails with Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. And then, of course, Instagram is snailtrail4x4 and 4x4toyotatyler. So let us know any feedback. If we messed up anything, as you guys saw in the beginning of this episode, we do correct ourselves if we get corrected. We like being corrected. We like making sure the correct information is out there. So if you hear us mess up something, let us know. We're honest. We're average people. We're not anything special. So we mess up a lot, just like you can tell from Jimmy moving the microphones around and relocating microphones in the middle of the recording. Touche, good sir. So, yeah, tell all your friends, tell all your buddies, keep those reviews coming on iTunes. They help a ton. Now that we've kind of researched and figured out what they do, they are really awesome to see, and they're really fun to read through as well. So they keep us entertained just as much as they keep you entertained, hopefully. So let us know all that, and I think that just about does it, yeah?
Sounds good.
Cool. Do you have any final words for all of our peeps out there?
Aloha.
And don't forget, everybody, keep crawling.
Today, my son asked me, can I have a bookmark?
Okay.
I bust into tears and my 11-year-old still doesn't know my name is Brian.
Oh, because it wasn't a bookmark. It was... Your name's Jimmy.
I know. I should say that, huh?
Yeah.
I don't have an 11-year-old son, though.
Oh, that's good. Because then I think the assistant might need to know... something.
Yeah.
So
definitely. I could change
Someone out there needs to go and post on the assistant's Instagram
and say
something about Jimmy's 11-year-old son. Please do it now.